drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. How would you cope if you found yourself under lockdown for months in a small unit with your mother and your ex? That was precisely the situation that Neil Kramer found himself in when the COVID pandemic hit New York in 2020. And over the weeks and months that followed, Neil led us into a version of his life through a series of wonderfully funny staged photos. That work, Quarantine in Queens, is one of the headline exhibits at the Head On Photo Festival this year, and he's my guest in the drawing room. Neil, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Nice to meet you, Patricia.
Take us into the setup here. How did the three of you end up sharing a small flat together?
Well, it almost sounds like the setup of a bad sitcom, or almost like some psychology experiment where me and my wife lived in Los Angeles. We got divorced several years ago, and I moved back to New York to my old apartment. And my mother moved to Florida, like as a snowbird. So in early 2020, something happened where my mother had to come back to New York because her rental fell through. And this, like a month later, my ex-wife had to move out of her apartment because it was a plumbing thing. So we all decided like, okay, well, let's like for a couple of weeks stay here and then we'll figure it out. And then the pandemic happened. And so we're still here together 600 days later. And I'm still like documenting that experience.
How quickly did you start taking the photos that make up this series?
Pretty early. I'm a photographer and a writer. I did a lot of street photography in New York, but now I couldn't do it anymore. So basically, it was a little bit of self-therapy here where like things were scary and then we would like restage the scenes and take a photo of whatever the experience of the day was. And there was really no intention other than just to sort of put it on Instagram and, you know, get our nerves out. And this was an international event. So all of a sudden, you know, you were afraid of seeing your neighbors, but you were connecting virtually with like people around the world who were like living the same situation, you know, in different ways. You know, everyone is like down on social media as being a bad thing. And, you know, there is something to say about that. But during the pandemic, it was really a lifeline for a lot of us.
How did you convince the other two people in your life to be part of this? Because you're a photographer, but they had to join in as well, right?
Well, that's a loaded question, mostly because in the beginning, it was, it's, you know, working with your family is not the easiest thing in the world. I think in the beginning, this was like the equivalent of our sourdough bread, you know, baking. It was like what we did, you know, we're stuck at home. You know, in case they're listening from the other room, you know, they were great collaborators, you know, to be doing this with me for 600 days. So a lot of times I had to like bribe them with donuts or something like that. But you know, it got a little harder as time got on, especially when they realized that people were seeing these photos on Instagram, and then we got interviewed on American television, and it was all of a sudden, particularly my Sophia, my ex-wife, and my mother became more self-conscious. So it was like, you know, hey, can I take a picture of you waking up in the morning? And, you know, no.
No.
So, you know, part of the staging was, you know, to comb my hair before we actually did the shoot.
So introduce us to the people who've been part of this with you, because you recently posted a photo of your mother on her 88th birthday and said that we should see our elders as real people with fears and passions. So who is Elaine?
Elaine is, you know, my mother. My father passed away, you know, like 10 years ago. And then she would go every winter to, you know, like in Seinfeld, one of these like retirement villages in Boca Raton, Florida. And, you know, basically I came back to New York after the divorce to sort of take over my old apartment. So there's the added element that I'm actually in the apartment I was as a kid. So it's like, not only am I living with my mother and my ex-wife, but it's also my childhood house. So it really is like a lot of, material. I mean, that's why I've been able to go on for 600 days exploring this, because it became not only about COVID, but about, you know, what is family? What is your responsibility to someone who you divorced to, you know, during a traumatic time? And my mother is she's a wonderful woman, and she's actually been the star of this show in some ways, because Queens, New York was really the epicenter in March 2020 of the U.S. pandemic. And unfortunately, you know, it really hit hard her generation. So, you know, we know some people who passed away and I think that one of the reasons why Sophia and I really avoided a lot of life outside is because we were afraid of bringing something back to my mother. It was like, so we were very cautious, and we're still rather cautious, even though, you know, things are opening up.
What about Sophia, your ex-wife? Who's she?
She was born in Odessa. Then she lived in Israel. And then I met her in Los Angeles, and we were married. Actually, we just had our 25th anniversary in October, which was very weird, you know, not being married, but we sort of celebrated our anniversary. We've always been good friends, even after we separated. And, I, you know, there has been sort of challenge to living together. We try to act more like friends or even like brothers and sisters, but you still have the same, you know, sometimes fights that you had when you were married. And I think being honest about that was good for other people to see. Because also I would get like messages about, I love my husband, I love my kids, but being trapped here with them for like a year, I want to like kill him. You know, so I think that at the end, after 600 days, we still love each other, and it was great being together. And Sophia is very, she almost kept us alive, because I think I would have been more stupid of like, you know, going out more. And, I mean, a lot of the tension and the humor is the fact that, you know, she would follow me to make sure I'm wearing a mask outside and stuff like that.
Being in that space with your mother and your ex-wife, what did it do to your relationships? Because that's an intense experience, even for a typical family. And as you hinted at, with the messages you were getting.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, talking to you about this, it's you can almost hear me stumbling, because I've talked about other projects, you know, which I've done, you know, like writing or photography. But this is so integrated with my own life, I'm not really sure whether I'm talking about the project or actually my life. And it sometimes got a little confusing, because it was beautiful and touching, but it was actually difficult at times. And I, you know, this was like the closest I've ever had to, you know, being in like a war experience where you're trapped in your house. We live in an apartment building. So even just going on the elevator was scary. And, you know, like Sydney, or I think New York is probably even more crowded. So everything great about New York City, the crowds, the public transportation, all the events, suddenly became like, you know, not what people wanted anymore. So I only started going on the subway like a couple of weeks ago. We really were isolated, but we sort of connected because of it. In some ways, actually now it's getting a little harder, because, you know, when we were forced to be together, we met, it was like, you know, you group together because of the scary times. Now, as things are getting a little bit more scary, we're sort of going back into the old habits of like, you know, arguing over like little things like, you know, what time we should eat dinner.
What was it like being on that subway again?
I'm a little torn, because one, it was sort of exhilarating that, like, you know, I mean, if you've been in New York City subway, it's not the most usually the pleasant place, but it was like, it became symbolic, like, you know, oh, I can travel again. It was something beautiful about it. At the same time, it was like oh, there's some guy sitting next to me without a mask. And I really do think that, you know, on a personal level, that like, as wonderful it was being with my mother and Sophia for almost like, like it's almost 600 days, which is like a year, like 20 months. There has been, I do feel a little bit of like, you know, post-traumatic syndrome where going on the subway was like, oh, something that I would never even think about before. It was sort of like, you know, touching this pole is pretty germy.
On Radio National, I'm Patricia Karvalis. Neil Kramer is my guest in the drawing room, and we're talking about his photo series, Quarantine in Queens. When you're staging images for this project, what are you looking for? What sort of story did you want to tell?
Well, I don't know. First of all, you know, we're living real life. So there were a lot of moments, you know, like we were like the type of family that would like scrub down our groceries before we brought it inside. And you're all very anxious and nervous about this new reality. So, you know, they would kill me if I said like, oh, let's take a picture right now while we're doing this. So it was more sort of like, okay, this was a sort of a weird experience. Let's stage it for ourselves and sort of almost like a self-therapy. So I made a deal that each scene had to be based on reality, even though we were sort of staging it. So when someone walked in, I was in the bath, you know, we have one bathroom. So when I was in the bathtub and, you know, my mother walked in because it was a phone call, you know, which, and it was like, mom, I'm in the bath, you know, it's like, I'm a grown man. So we ended up staging it where like I'm in the bathtub and, you know, Sophia's, you know, shaving her legs and my mother's walking in. So even though it was humorous, it sort of came out of sort of a real situation that maybe wasn't as funny the first time.
How does art like this help to capture the story of a time? Because these photos might be staged, but as you've suggested, they're still capturing really a real sense of what life was like during what is an unimaginable time, but, you know, is now part of all of our lives.
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of the festival, you know, because I unfortunately can't make it to Sydney, but, you know, of the exhibits that are at, you know, the Bondi Beach or also at the Paddington Reservoir, there's a couple of them. I mean, everyone was stuck at home, so a lot of people took pictures that were related to that quarantine, you know, or the lockdown. And I think art is like is really important, for not only for other people, but for as a way to work through for ourselves. I mean, even if people didn't take photographs, they were like making bread or knitting. So I think people need a way to express themselves, you know, during a traumatic time. The photos that you're seeing are actually funny. But underneath them, I think you can see that, you know, there's like an old TV show in America. I mean, I'm sure you know, like MASH, I remember watching. And it's like, it's during the Korean War and they're all like joking around. It's sort of like gallows humor. I think we were sort of doing that, like trying to take our anxiety and make humor out of it, you know. And it was weird that other people responded. That was not the intention in the beginning. It was more for us. And then it became, you know, other people relating to it because they were going through the same experiences.
There's a real sense of humour in these images. And you mentioned that the situation might not have been so funny when it actually happened. Did staging them and showing the ridiculousness of life help you to take things a little more lightly yourselves?
Yeah, I really did. And it was, first of all, we're shooting, you know, without talking about the technical stuff so much, the apartment is really, it's like a New York apartment. It's very small. So I had to like learn to myself, like, you know, how do I shoot three people in a tiny room? So there was some, I mean, in the beginning, my mother was like, you know, we have to clean up the place first. Or, you know, there was so many behind the scenes stories that become part of what because you're working with your family and they have their own, you know, anxieties about. So that became part of the story, was the making of it sort of connected us in some ways. We were able to discuss things that probably we couldn't have discussed, you know, like our fear, you know. So rather than talking about the fear of COVID, we're talking about how are we going to take a picture in the bedroom with all three of us? And I think that helped us. It was definitely a collaboration. Just the act of doing something together, you know, like, you know, hey, gang, let's put on a show, you know, brings you together.
You posted recently that photography scares you, not the technical side, but the meaning of each image and the passage of time. What's your own relationship with the images you've taken over the last 600 days? What's it like seeing the early photos again?
I really enjoy them, but at the same time, I have been doing this for over 600. First of all, you know, it's called quarantine in Queens. And sometimes friends ask me, well, you're not really quarantining anymore. But there's something like almost like a quarantine in the mind where I know even Australia is like even like a step behind where like people couldn't even go from Melbourne to Sydney. Mm. So, you know, here in the States, you know, a lot of us are feeling the pressure to be normal again. But I still don't feel normal yet.
And it's hard to feel normal, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's sort of so, but I've noticed that lately the photos are not as funny. And at like on day 400, I started taking more like self-portraits. None of them that are in this, they're in the festival because that focus on the humor one. It's hard being like funny for like ever. I think eventually some of the photos became less funny. I'm like pictures of myself moping, looking out the window. I'm able to see the earlier photos for more what they were and not as funny in some ways. Like I'm beginning to feel where it was coming from. Because it was really sort of a scary experience. So it was very therapeutic for us to do it. So, and that was the intention and the fact that other people responded to it. Maybe that's why I'm saying photography is sometimes scary because I'm not really sure what the meaning is to me and the viewer. And you sort of like, you're seeing different things in it. People respond in different ways. So sometimes your response of other people is not exactly what you wanted. So, I mean, if you feel myself like stumbling, there's a big difference between like doing something that's very personal rather than, you know, just taking pictures of boats or, you know, cityscapes. It's like you're taking pictures of yourself and then other people are reading into it. And sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't. And sometimes, I mean, I think, I don't know who said it, but some famous photographer said that like, once the photo is out there, it's really not yours anymore. It's the viewers. So it's not that they're wrong. You know, sometimes people see things in it that you didn't see yourself.
How did you come to photography in the first place? What led you to the camera?
I started out more writing, and I'm really into like stories. And I actually, when I went to Los Angeles, I went to film school, was involved in like, you know, entertainment and making movies. And I think I got brought back to photography. I mean, people hate to say this, but it was when the iPhone came about. You know, I was never a big, you know, person who like developed their own film, but the ease of walking around with the phone, like everyone else, I sort of got open to like documenting my life again with the camera. Of course, eventually I bought a real camera because it got better quality images, but I love it, you know, but at the same time, yeah, I don't know why photography scares me in some ways because it's like real, but it's sort of manipulated. So even though when I see photos that are not staged, even like journalism stuff, the very fact that someone is like framing it in a certain way so you don't see what's on the side is also slightly manipulated. All of my photos, I added a lot of text. And I've thought a lot about why I did that, because sometimes I felt that the photos themselves didn't capture the whole experience. So even when I show the funny photo, I sometimes wrote a little text about how this was coming from a scary part of our lives or something like that. So the project on social media is a combination of writing and photography. Maybe it's a little bit of a control thing. Maybe I worry about that the photograph really becomes the viewer's point of view And especially when you're doing like stuff about your own life, it's been a challenge in some way, you know. And it's a conversation I have with Sophia and my mother a lot, because they are, you know, they're in this project, but they're also being seen as real people. So, you know, I mean, I know what's happened in Australia also, but, you know, the whole pandemic has become politicized in some way, you know, right? And, you know, sometimes we get messages about, like, you know, you guys are being paranoid because, you know, you're holding up in your house for like a year. Or, you know, why do you need to wear a mask when you're outside? And this was not really expected, that, like, you know, just some funny photos, you know, of us living life, you know, other people would sort of almost view it in a political view. So that became sort of an issue also, which was unexpected.
As you said, you're a street photographer as well. Have you had a chance to return to that as New York has opened up again, or are things still a bit too strange?
Well, tomorrow is the Thanksgiving, and there's like the big Macy's Day Parade. I'm debating going tomorrow, but I'm not sure I have enough. I found it hard, and I found it hard. My relationship to other people on the street feels different, especially now that people wearing, like, you know, street photography is always a little controversial because you're taking pictures of strangers walking around. But I always felt like in New York, it was like street theater. So it was like, you know, if they're in the street, it's sort of like, you know, French impressionists drawing, you know, stuff in France at the cafe. But once everyone started wearing the masks, it was like, it didn't feel like street life was the same anymore. It was more like people were trying to get from A to B. And I'm still feeling a little bit uncomfortable taking pictures in the street. I don't know exactly why. It's like, we're not normal yet. And it seems more like invasive. But just working with my mother and ex-wife, you know, required a certain amount of collaboration I wasn't used to before. You know, it's like basically before you're walking around the street, taking as fast as possible shots. Here I had to deal with the psychology of working with family members. So I think it's made me a better photographer, because I can now work with people better rather than, you know, street photography is more like, you know, capturing the image as fast as possible, the decisive moment. And I didn't feel like that at all for the last three. These were not decisive moments. It was trying to, like, create something out of our own anxiety that was art. So it was a different type of feeling.
Neil, your work is pretty amazing. I really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much. It was just wonderful talking to Patricia.
Neil Kramer has been my guest in the Drawing Room, and his series Quarantine in Queens is on display as part of the Head On Photo Festival in Sydney. For more details, head to headon.com.au.